Stand, if you will, in reverence to God's Word. Psalm 71. I'll be as brief as I can, but I do want to get the message out this morning that God's birthed in my heart. For the sake of time, I'm going to read one verse of Scripture. The Bible said, verse 9, Psalm 71, verse 9, "Cast me not off in the time of old age, forsake me not when my strength faileth." Ree, you're not old enough to enjoy this lesson. Amen. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about in the time of old age. Some of you are here and you're younger than some of the rest of us. But I want to promise you something. The days will swiftly go by and the years will swiftly go by. And there'll come a time when this message will really mean something to you. We don't know if David wrote this psalm for sure or not, but it sure sounds like him. I'll say that. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. And I thank you, God, that, Lord, you've worked in our hearts. And thank you for the good singing, the good testimonies this morning. Lord, I'm glad that Jesus loves me. Lord, I'm glad I know it. Lord, I pray that each one that's gathered in this place today could some way make it personal, could say, Lord, you love me. You died for me. It's true, Lord, that you died for the sin of the world. Lord, what a blessing it is when it's personal, when you realize, Lord, that had I only been the only one, you would have died for me. Help us now, Lord, in the message. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to speak to you about this text, and we're going to be looking at some verses in the chapter concerning in the time of old age. The great evangelist George Whitefield was relating the difficulties of gospel ministry to some of his friends. He said that he was weary of the burdens and was glad that his work would soon be over and that he would depart this earthly scene to be with Christ. The others admitted having similar feelings, all except one, Mr. Tennant. Noting this, Whitefield tapped him on the knee and said, "Well, Brother Tennant, you are the oldest among us. Do you not rejoice to think that your time is so near at hand when you will be called home?" The old man answered bluntly that he had no wish about it. When pressed for something more definite, he added, "I have nothing to do with death. My business is to live as long as I can and as well as I can and serve my Savior as faithfully as I can until he thinks it's time to call me home." Whitefield accepted that word as a gentle rebuke from the Lord, and it helped him to go on with his work calmly and patiently. This would be a good place to quote Brother Fred Weston, what he told his wife when his wife was trying to get him to lay the mantle down, when at times he would miss the tune, or at times he may miss the key. Listen, you're doing good if you just miss a key. I miss all of them. Amen. But Brother Fred told his wife, "I just want to serve the Lord." Can I say this morning that you're looking at a man that just wants to serve the Lord as long as he can? I know, beloved, listen, that death is coming. And I know that outside of the rapture, nothing's going to change that. But my heart and my mind is to serve the Lord while it's day. There'll be a night coming in my life when I can no longer work, amen, for him. I want to do what I can. I want to give you some things. It's just four things, and I'll try to be as brief as I can. And the subject, in the time of old age. And by the way, everything I'm going to say would apply to any age. I'm just using the text and how that God birthed it in my heart. First of all, in the time of old age, I want to say this at first in the message, there's someone I can trust. Have you ever heard somebody say you just don't know who to trust? I know who to trust. His name is Jesus. Look at the text with me, if you will, in verse number 1. It starts out like this: In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Can I remind you that the author of confusion is the devil? Amen. And Jesus is never in the business of confusing us. Amen. And he's saying, listen, you can put your trust in me. Who would have ever thought in America we'd have a choice whether we put on our tag, "In God we trust," or not? Who would have ever thought there would be a choice? Say amen. I thank God for the police cars that's got "In God we trust" on them. Say amen. That man might not even be saved, but he has a respect, amen, for the country that God has blessed us with. There's someone I can trust. Look at verse number 5. For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust. Now I want you to get this with Bible school coming up: from my youth. In other words, beloved, it didn't just come up in the latter days, amen. The psalmist is saying, hey, I've lived my whole life this way, amen, putting my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. There's several things here, just three things quickly. We can trust him, number 1, to protect us. Notice what the Bible said in verse number 3 and 4. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. Then to verse number 24, the last part of the verse, the Bible said, they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. I'm telling you, we can trust him, beloved. We can trust him to protect us, amen, in this sin-benighted world that we live in. And then we can trust him to strengthen us. Look at verse number 9. The Bible said, cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. Let me say this to you, beloved. I believe the strength of youth will fail every one of us physically. But I tell you, the weaker we get physically, the stronger we ought to get spiritually, amen, as we near his coming for us. In the first part of verse number 16, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I'm going to tell you something, it's a happy day when you realize you can't go without his strength. You can't do anything without his strength. And it'll change the valleys in your life when you realize, beloved, that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. Amen. We can trust him to protect us. We can trust him to strengthen us. And then we can trust him to comfort us. Look at verse number 21. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I'll tell you something, beloved. Listen, every young person in this building ought to be looking for an older person that you could come alongside and be a blessing to them. You say, Pastor, you said we need to trust God to do that. Did you know that God uses people? Amen. You and I can be vessels unto honor and go and encourage somebody else in the faith and in their latter days. Then not only is it someone in the time of old age, is there someone I can trust, but I want to thank God there's someone who will listen. Brother John, you were talking about praying. Let them, brother. I brought out a message long ago on Wednesday night about persecution. Let them cuss. Let them persecute. You just keep praying for them, brother. Amen. Oh, you say, Pastor, why would you pray for somebody like that? Because there's somebody on the other side listening. And it's the grace of God. It's not you doing the cussing and me doing the cussing and you doing the ridiculing and me doing the ridiculing. We ought to pray for our enemies. Pray for them that despitefully use us. Why? Because there's a Savior sitting at the right hand of the Father listening to our prayers. Watch what the Bible said here, beloved, in verse number 2. He said here, deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me. Oh, listen to me. Before I got these hearing aids, Tyler, I used to do this a lot. You know what I mean? Because it helps. It helps. If you can cup your ear if you're having trouble hearing something like that, and it helps. It magnifies it a little, catches more of what's going on out there. Can I say this to you? There's a Savior sitting up there. He just waits. What you got? What you need? Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, He's not hard of hearing. Oh, He hears every prayer. He even hears it before we get it out. Amen. Somebody said to the preacher one day, people gathered in the altar like we do on Wednesday night praying out loud. This woman said to the preacher, said, I couldn't understand a word they said. The preacher said, honey, they weren't talking to you. Aren't you glad? Listen, you can be at your house praying in your closet. I can be at my house praying in my closet. We can all be in a different place praying. And He hears and answers our prayer. Amen. That's something good to know in the time of old age. He listens when we need to be saved. How many's glad? How many are, you get 423-677-6772, not available right now. How many's glad when you call on heaven? Amen. You don't get that. You don't get beep, 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 beep. You don't get English or Spanish. Say amen. Honey, I'm telling you, it don't matter who you are, what you need. There's a God in heaven listening. Amen. You need to be saved. There's a God listening. The Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Not only is He listening when we need to be saved, but He's listening when we need strength. Listen to what the Bible said. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? Because there's something there that we need, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. How many believes God's got grace? How many believes James got it right when he said, you have not because you ask not? Amen. And then you ask and you have not because you ask amiss. Amen. To consume it upon your own lust. There is such a thing as a selfish prayer. Amen. But I tell you, there's such a thing as a Spirit-filled prayer. Amen. That Spirit-filled prayer didn't begin with you. It began in heaven. Amen. You were just in tune with the God of heaven. We need to be saved. He's listening. When we need strength, He's listening. And when we need security, He's listening. Look in verse number 3. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock. Honey, there's a lot of shaky ground in this world, but there's a foundation that'll never give. That foundation is Christ. He is our security, amen, in a weary land. He is our fortress, and thank God that He is. Not only is there someone I can trust in the time of old age, and someone who will listen in the time of old age, but there's someone to magnify in the time of old age. F.B. Meyer once confided to his friend, F.A. Robinson of Toronto. He said, I do hope that my father will let the river of my life go flowing fully until the finish. I don't want it to end in a swamp. How many knows the difference between a river and a swamp? Amen. Oh, I'm telling you, beloved, I pray that God will let that river of life just flow in us freely. In that time of old age, there's someone to magnify. Look in verse number 6. The Bible said here, by thee have I been holding up from the womb. In other words, God's took care of me all the way. And thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. By the way, my fourth great-grandchild will be here any minute. Amen. Glory to God. I prayed this morning, God, take care of mama. God, take care of baby. It don't always go right. Say amen. But we can ask God to help us. Amen. And the psalmist said, He's holding me up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. Now watch what he said because of that. My praise shall be continually of thee. How many finds your praise hot and cold? Help me. How many finds it up and down? Did you know what God said here? He said in the time of old age, there ought to be some steadiness. There ought to be some continual praise. Say amen. I'm telling you, that don't mean that things are always good. Yes, He's God on the mountain, and He's God in the valley. And if we really believe that, we can praise Him in the valley just like we do on the mountain.
Amen.
The psalmist wants to magnify the Lord. Look at verse 14. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee. He's not only going to praise him continually, but he uses the words more and more. He wants to see an increase. I'll tell you something. Listen, I speak from the pulpit to the pew. We're behind in this area of praising the Lord, amen, for what he has done, amen. And we need to magnify the Lord. Look at verse 15. The word of God said, my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness. You ever heard somebody bragging on themselves? That makes you sick, don't it? Amen. But I tell you what, you get to bragging on him and the Holy Ghost will show up. Say amen. And by the way, let me say this. I've read this in the Bible. I could take you over there in the book of John and show you. But the Spirit of God ain't magnifying himself. When the Spirit of God shows up, he magnifies the Lord Jesus. Amen. He's the one that's big. And when the Spirit of God shows up, amen. And when we magnify the Lord, we're magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. He's saying, I don't know how long I'm living, but I know this, as long as I live, I want to magnify the Lord. Ain't that good? Amen. Now watch verse 16. The word of God said here, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness. Watch this now. Even of thine only. When you're magnifying the Lord, honey, we're not talking about our goodness. We're talking about his righteousness. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But oh, thank God for the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus. He took the sin off of my account and put his perfection on my account, his perfect righteousness. And what a blessing that is. Look at verse 17 just for a moment. The Bible said, oh God, thou hast taught me from my youth. There it is again. You see that? From my youth. And hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. I'll tell you something right now. Beloved, when you get in that time of old age, you don't want to brag on yourself. You want to brag on your Savior. Amen. You want to thank God for what he has done. Amen. I had some of my grandchildren yesterday. We celebrated one of my grandson's graduation yesterday. And you're talking about the time of old age. I was back there, and this beautiful young lady walked up on the under the tabernacle back there, under the, what do you call that thing, the picnic shelter, I guess, the shelter. And she walked under there, and I looked at her. I said, this person said, I said, who is that? He said, that's Taylor. I hadn't seen Taylor since she was about Rowan's age. And now she's graduating high school. She had on a beautiful dress, and just her hair was fixed so pretty. I mean, she looked like something walked out of a magazine. I said, you're kidding me. I went over to Taylor and I put my arm around her and I said, Taylor, I didn't know who you were. She said, honey, it's been a long time. Amen. But you see the difference. You can forget beauty, but you can't forget ugly. She knew exactly who I was. Amen. Oh, yes, I left the first depression a long time ago. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, how many have gone through things like that? You see somebody you ain't seen in years, and amen, Brother Junior, amen. Brother Junior's north of 75 years old. He knows what I'm talking about. Amen. Hallelujah. There's someone to magnify. And then let me give you this in verse number 20, and I'm done. There's something to look forward to. The Bible said here, thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles. Same one that showed us great and sore troubles shall quicken me again. I believe this is speaking of the resurrection and shall bring me up from the depths of the earth. I'm reminded of a dear preacher from Kingsport years ago. He pastored Victory Baptist Church on the other side of town. And this is what he said, whether it's by way of the clouds or by way of the clods, I'm going to be with Jesus. And I like that. Say amen. Amen. Honey, we've got a bright future to look forward to. In the time of old age, beloved, there's something to look forward to. How many's looking forward to a land that's fairer than day?
Amen.
How many's looking forward to a land where it's peace forevermore? Years ago, we got together at my sister's in Jonesboro, and I believe we had 6 8-foot tables. That would make 48 foot a table stretched out on the front of her porch, and there was chairs all the way around it. And the food was sitting all down through the middle of the table. And so what you did, you rose from your chair after we asked the blessing, and you just started making a circle and reaching over there and getting what you wanted. I learned something that day. You can eat more standing up than you can sitting down. By the time I got back to my seat, I was done, Brother Mike. Amen. Honey, I was done full. Amen. But I sat there while everybody was eating. And this blessing come to my mind. Just my little family. If it's this good, Sister Carol, how good is it going to be when God gets the whole family around the table? Sitting up yonder at the head is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What a blessing it's going to be, youngers. We got something to look forward to. Amen. In the time of old age, we don't need the mully grubs. I know Arthur hurts, and I know we're taking more pills than ought to be legal. Amen. And more vitamins and everything under the sun. But I'm going to tell you something right now. It's going to be better. Better, better, the writer to the Hebrews kept saying, better, better. The songwriter said, it's better farther on. Amen. We ought to be looking forward to that land that's fairer than day. I appreciate you coming this morning. Brother John gave a wonderful testimony. You may be sitting here this morning and you don't know Jesus. Honey, He wants to know you. And He wants you to know Him. He wants to forgive you. He wants, beloved, for you to come and see Him in His home called heaven. Amen. I hope today that you'll let that sink in. The Lord loves you. And He died for you. He died for me. I've trusted Him. I'm going to be with Him. I'm going to get to see my mom again. I'm going to get to see my dad again. I don't know if God will let Brother Fred tell another joke in heaven, but if He does, I want to hear it. Amen. Brother Fred tell me a joke about every Sunday, and I don't remember any except the last one. The last one I can never forget. He said a fellow come into church, and he sat down. A fellow walked up to him and said, I'll have you know that's my seat. The guy got up and moved. And he said, another guy come up and said, sir, you need to know, that's my seat. He got up and moved again. And where he sat the last time, there was a seat open beside of him. Another fellow come along and said, sir, is that seat saved? Said the old boy, looked up at him and said, as far as I know, it ain't even under conviction. You know what Brother Fred did? He left this world happy. He knew he had something to look forward to. He left this world with a heart to serve God, do what he could, as long as he could. And what a blessing that is. When God was dealing with my heart about this message, I thought about Brother Don McCann. What a blessing. We went to visit him. I think you were with me, Jason. He said, boys, my ministry now is confined to a ministry of prayer. Couldn't get out of the recliner. But I'll tell you this, He prayed for us. Amen. What a blessing that is. Let's bow for prayer this morning.